Ephesians 4, and we've been talking about the grace of God, because it's our year of great grace, and I did say that there are two words that you can use to surmise grace, and those two words are goodness and mercy. You know, God said to the children of Israel in the book of Exodus, he said, I am a merciful God. I am good and I am gracious. That's who God is. All of Scripture, everything to do with God, can be summed up in his grace. God is gracious. If you want to know who God truly is, that's him. He is gracious. He shows mercy. And he gives goodness to people. Hallelujah. Amen. And what I've been doing is, you find out what I've been doing is trying to make us realize and understand our need for grace. You know, I know we've talked a little bit about how we can get that grace. But what I really want to keep zeroing in on is that you need grace. You need the grace of God. It's one thing to know that I want to get grace, but it's another thing to know that you need grace in every aspect, in your home, in your marriage, in your studies, in your aspirations, in anything you are thinking, think grace. Think grace. In fact, God said to, Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient. You know, when someone tells you something is sufficient, it means though you don't need anything else. It is sufficient. It is enough. It is adequate. So that's the first thing I want us to say. Every time you wake up, think the grace of God. The grace of God. You woke up because of the grace of God. See, grace just means that it is not your power. It is not your doing. It is not your ability. There is nothing that we can do without the grace of God. We are here today because of his grace. You know, and when you come before God, you cannot start saying the things that you've done. You can't. Because when you come before God, you just bow before him and recognize that, oof, I'm only alive because of his grace. Amen. So that's the thing we want to first look at. But today I want to talk about the grace to function. See, to function. The grace that enables you to be able to do anything. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4 says, but to each one of us, grace has been given. Each one of us. And even the people in the world who don't know God, do you know they have grace? All of the gifts that humanity has, God gave it to them at creation. When God made Adam, he said, let us make man in our own image and after our own likeness. The Bible says the way he made him, he breathed into his nostrils. See, that breath is the grace of God. Because it's the grace of God that enables you to breathe and to live. So all of humanity, they have the grace of God. But particularly when you are born again, when you become a believer and you know God. The Bible says we are recreated in Christ Jesus, isn't it? Recreated. So he pours unto us the abundance of his grace, even more. And so it says each one of us, I want you to notice this, each person has the grace given to them according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now this is a gifting. This grace that he's talking about here, there is an ability that God has given to everyone so that you can function in any area that you are able, that God wants you to function. So if you're wanting to do something, maybe a job, your profession, God gives you grace to do it. Every person here, there's grace. See, all the work you need to do, don't try and figure out things. I want you to first say, Lord, thank you for the grace that I have to do this project. Grace comes first before the project. Amen. Amen. Because if you do it without acknowledging the grace of God, you will be huffing, I always say, and puffing. And you will struggle. And you will be tired. You'll be weary. The reason a lot of people are tired is because they don't think grace first. They think what they would do first. Did you know that Work was not meant to be labor. When God created work for Adam, it was leisure. It was leisure. He never sweated. Did you know that? Work was not meant to be what you will use to earn an income. Did you know? Work was just something that you were supposed to be doing. You were supposed to be feeding off the grace of God. That's what Adam was living on. It wasn't the work he was doing that was living on. It was, see, when God made Adam, he had already made everything that Adam will ever need. Even gold was in the garden. Everything he needed. So work was for him to just almost like, it's like going on holiday. You know why I say that? In Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, after he fell, that's when God now said, out of the sweat of your face, that's when work became labor. That's why God instituted the Sabbath. The Sabbath is to let you know that what you have is not based on your effort. It is based on my grace. Everything humanity needed, if we had not fallen, we would not be going to work. You see, we would just be inventing things as if we are playing. That's what it would look like. And that's what it's going to be when Christ returns. We will not labor. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord, it does what? It makes rich, and there's no toiling in the blessing of God. So it was a fall of Adam that made work labor. What God intended work to be is leisure. Praise God. So if people go out to work and they say, oh, you know, I'm working so hard, you are not enjoying grace. You are not enjoying grace. You are laboring. The whole purpose of grace is to remove labor, to remove sweating, you see, to take it out so that you begin to cruise. That's what grace is about. Because what will grace be then if I still have to labor? You know, it's almost like the people were telling, when Paul was talking about the grace of God for salvation, the other disciples who were with the Lord Jesus kept telling them, well, you know, you've got to live according to the Jewish customs. You've got to observe this, observe. These were people who were with the Lord Jesus, that Jesus was covering them against the Pharisees. Now they have believed. God had to raise Paul, a man who did not meet Jesus, to say, no, you don't need to observe all those things. Because it is what? It is a free gift. And so, God has given you grace. You have grace to function in any area. If you go to work, you know that you have the grace of God inside you. The grace of God is the enablement of God. The grace of God overshadows your own ability. How many people have done something that you know that it was beyond your power? That's grace. You know, that shouldn't be happening from time to time. You know, sometimes you experience it, and then the rest of the, after 6 months, then you enjoy it again. No, it's a daily thing. Amen. To each one of us, grace has been given. Wow. Let me read it to you in the Living Bible Translation. Have you got it? Says, however, Christ has given each of us special abilities. See, that's the one I want to use. I don't want to use my own ability. I want to use the special ability. You see, when you do anything, say you're doing sports, it's good to train, isn't it? Do you know, the Bible says the race is not for the swift or to the strong. So you can work out. How many of the people who do sports work out? Everyone works hard. But the person who trusts in the grace of God will stand out. Their work will not be labor. This is important. Your work must not be labor. You must not be sweating. You know, just agitated and worried and concerned about anything. You know, maybe a project comes up and you have a deadline to follow and you are saying, oh no, I've got to follow this deadline. You are using your own ability. Take hold of the special ability. Yeah. that he's given you. Why will he give you if you're not going to use them? Why will he give you if it's not going to make a difference? Mm. He's giving you because he will make a difference. Amen. Students who are in school, you have the grace of God. Whatever subject comes up that you're facing as a challenge, say, Father, I thank you because you've given me the grace. Well, my ability can understand it. Maybe I'll get 50% with my ability, but I'm taking on the special ability. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that will take you further. Hallelujah. It will take you further. It will take you further than you could ever go. You know, maybe we're struggling with a particular area, maybe a habit that we're struggling with. We say, look, I want to stop. I want to stop this habit. Why don't you take the grace of God? It's been given to you. Acknowledge you, receive it, and let it work for you. Praise God. Each one of us has been given grace. Given grace individually. And that grace enables us to do what God has called us to do. Whatever task, whatever function we want to achieve, whatever purpose we want to achieve, we have the grace to do it. Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians 3, 7. It says, Apostle Paul, they say, of this gospel I was made what? A minister according to the gift of God. You see, Paul says that the reason I'm a minister is there's a gift God gave to me. I'm not a minister because I just want to minister. Everybody's ministry and I'm ministry. No, there's a gift for me to do it. There's a special ability that is enabling me to do these things, to write all the scriptures that I was able to write, to be able to go to different countries, to suffer shipwreck and not be moved. Did you know that Paul went through so many challenges? If you have special ability, you can go through fire. Anytime you find yourself giving up, you are using your own strength. Amen. Because the grace of God never runs out. It is not limited. So anytime I find myself tired and weary and stressed, just pause. Press the pause button. I'm working with my effort, with my energy. I'm drained. Lord, thank you for your grace. It's grace. And you know, all you do is acknowledge that grace and it begins to flow. It begins to flow. The Bible says that he renews your what? Your youth. We should be looking younger and younger. Amen. Because we are not working through our own effort and our ability. He says of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of what? God's grace. The grace of God. Paul was constantly talking about the grace of God. Paul worked more than everybody else, but he kept referring to the grace. And that's what I discovered. You can do everything in this life and just be at ease. Just be at ease. Nothing moves you. Nothing worries you. Why? You are depending on the grace of God. You know, when you work with people, if you don't live by the grace of God, it will be more common for you to say, oh, I'm stressed, I'm tired, I'm doing this. You keep saying, I. That's the problem. It's I, not grace. Not grace. When it is grace, you don't say I. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son. Not even my own faith. My God. Did you know faith is a gift? I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how I live now. I don't live Paul's life anymore. I don't live Sheson's life anymore. I live the life of Christ. That's a different kind of life. That is Zoe. Eternal life. Unquenchable, undisturbable. My grace, each one of us. So Paul said, it was given to me. See, look at it. This grace was given to me by the working of his power. So the grace that is in you, there's a power that accompanies it. And it's working. It's like a generating plant. It's working. You've got to be, there's something at work inside you. Right now, it's working. How did Paul know it? Because he keeps talking about it, acknowledging it, and he's using it, and it's working for him. He's letting the people know that this grace, this ministry I'm doing, this guy was, did you know he went to a village after they were shipwrecked? And then a snake came and wound around his hand. And the people were waiting for him to what? Because that kind of viper, or don't know what kind of snake, said normally what happens once the person falls, you know, the poison, they just fall and die. So they were waiting for him to fall and die. The man, what did he do? He shook it off. That's grace. That's what grace does. You shake it off as if nothing happened. Whew! You see, this ministry that I'm doing is the grace of God and is working by the power of God. The power of God is the grace of God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You have enough grace for anything that you want to do. Anything that is your duty, your job, you have enough grace to do it. You do. You have enough grace to be a responsible person. Whatever you are not. You know, on Friday, if you were not here, you can go and listen to the message that we need to admit our faults, our weaknesses. Because when we admit our weaknesses, then the grace will flow. You see, if we don't admit it, then the grace can't flow. You are tapping into grace every time you say, look at, I am inadequate in this area. See, we all have inadequacies. There's nobody here who is perfect. Then if you're perfect, you don't need grace. You know what Jesus said to the people? He told them, the Pharisees, he said, I only came for the sick. So we are the sick in the flesh. I'm talking in the flesh. But the Pharisees who thought that they were well, they would never get grace. And that's what happened. You know, so what we want to do is to make sure that we keep coming to God and needing his grace. Keep needing that grace. Keep desiring that grace. Hallelujah. So we have enough grace. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't worry about the baby. It's good. The grace of God is available for us to keep flowing. You know, people tell me, I say, I never get affected by babies crying when I go for a meeting. It doesn't affect me. It's the grace of God. Hallelujah. Did you know that? It is the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus. God would rather have that baby in the house than at home. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Philippians 2, verse 13. Let's look at Philippians 2, verse 13. It says, for it is God who works in you. Now, what did Paul say about the grace? See, that grace is working by the power of God. There's a power. So there's grace. Grace is dynamic. Grace is energy. Grace is power. Grace overwhelms and overshadows anything that you can handle. The grace of God. Look at what it says. It says, for it is God who is working in you, is working inside you, both to will and to do. So if somebody does not have the passion to do something, the grace of God will work in them so that they have passion to do it. Grace is for everything. It says that grace is working in you to will. So someone say, I don't want to will. You will will. Amen. Because the grace of God will come in and begin to cause you to desire that thing. That's why the Bible says you will do exceeding abundantly above what you think. How can he do it? You have not even thought it. Because grace will come in and it will begin to bubble up something inside you so that you start thinking. Grace precedes your thinking. See, what we do, we try to think first. Grace will go ahead of that and charge your battery. David said, God will light my fire. For it is God who works in you both. So it's not just to do. See, we think God just worked for us to do. No, both to will to do. Amen. So maybe you have someone, maybe a child or somebody you know that the person does not have a zeal. Say, thank you for grace. That grace that is in them, let it begin to bubble. Let it begin to fire them up. You'll be amazed. The person will just wake up one day. Say, Mom, Dad, I'm ready. Say,
oh, when?
Ah. Oh, just say, Father, thank you for your grace. It works. It works. The grace of God. It will cause them to will. See, because what you're thinking is somebody you ask them to do something and they're not doing it, it's because they haven't willed it. So you need grace for them to will it. Let me show you in another translation, Philippians 2, in the Amplified Version. He says, for it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you. You know, before I used to think, this scripture, I used to think that, you know, that scripture that says, according to the power that works in you, that is, I have to do something for that power. So, you know, we used to teach it and tell people, you know, to make sure that power is working. No, 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 you have nothing to do with it. The power is working. Look at what it says. It said, it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively. God doesn't stop working. Grace doesn't stop working. You don't need to charge God up to work. No, he is working. You have to recognize it, that he is working, and release yourself to that work. That's why that song is good. It says, even though I can feel it working. That's it. That's scripture. That song is scripture. He never stops. He never stops working. And we used to think that I've got to charge it up to work. No. Who am I to charge up God to work? That's pride. Amen. It says, at work in you, both to will and to work, that is strengthening, energizing, and creating in you. See all of the things happening inside. Inside is you. My. I am too much. You are too much. It says, strengthening is energizing and creating in you the longing. It's creating the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose, because your function in life is your purpose, and your purpose is your position. That position that God wants you to get to in life, you will get there by the grace of God. Amen. It's grace. Grace will take you to your rightful place. Amen. It will, the grace of God. Don't be afraid of tomorrow. Don't be afraid that, oh, no, no, maybe I won't be able to do this, get this, go that. You really need to be at ease. Anybody who is enjoying God's grace would not worry. That's the whole essence of grace. If I have to worry, then it's not grace. Thank you, Jesus. So he says, ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. See, my purpose in life is to give God pleasure. So if I go to work, I give God pleasure. Amen. Everything I do, my parenting, in my being a husband, whatever I do, it is that God will be glorified. And if God is glorified, his grace will continue to work in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll continue to receive that grace and enjoy the grace of God. Look at it in the Message translation. The Message translation. I like what it says here. Philippians 2:13. It says that energy is who? Is God's energy. An energy deep within you, God himself willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure. Do you know God is so excited that you are his child? When a person gets saved, the Bible says, heaven over his soul. You are precious to God. He wants you to enjoy his grace. He doesn't want you to be cowed and to be afraid and to fret and to worry about anything. Look, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
You have the grace working. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The one in you is greater. Look at the power, the energy that is already operating on the inside of you. Never be afraid. Work was not intended to be labor. In fact, that's Proverbs that we just read. What was Proverbs 10:22 that says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich? Some translations say hard work does not improve it. Oh, Lord, my God. Hard work doesn't improve it. You know why? If you catch the understanding of work, what this is Romans 4, it says that to him who works, it is payment. Did you catch that? Is God saying don't work? No, God doesn't want you to depend on your work. One of the things that I realized, I used to manage a health club. Did you know that? Amen. So when you see me, I say, oh, Pastor, why are you not looking? And, you know, I'm not saying this. See, I go to the gym. I still go to the gym. I walk. I do all of that. And it's important. But my health is not based on the gym. I do it, and those are the things we have to do for my physical. In fact, I always tell people, I go to the gym just to look fit physically, but not for my health. Health and healing, they come from God. And these people will come there in the gym, they will come in, you know, and they will train and train. They will even come to the office and be telling me all the things they do and the diets that they use and they eat and everything. And the next thing, they're not in the gym, you call them and say, "Look, I'm sick." Oh. Wow, you're so sick. Every time they're off, sick, 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 sick. So it's not the gym that makes you well. Say, "I am the God that heals you. I fix you." It's the God who fixes us, who heals us. Should we go to work? Yes, but we should not depend on our work for our livelihood. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. See, when you depend on your work, you will tire out. There will always be work. Before you were born, there's been work. People have been working. Our work never finishes. People don't rest. They take it home. They say, "My work is so," you know, you say, "Yo, let me tell you, the people who are earning the most money don't work as much as you." That's the truth. I've been in a job where all I was doing is just welcoming people that came, and I'll take them to dinner. Woo, glory to God. So what was I doing? Taking people to dinner and for lunches and the company paying for it. And I was earning more than the people who were doing more work. That's not to say you don't work. But so that when you are working, you say, "Hey, no, that's not your source." So the Lord will supply your need according to what? To his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. We've got to understand that we need grace. We need grace for our health. We need grace for our marriage. The reason that things are going well for you is not because you are better than another person. It is the grace of God. And that will make you to be more compassionate to people who are going through things. Don't look at them and say, what happened to you? You mean you couldn't do that? These people. All you had to do was go to the gym and then you lose all the weight. If you don't have weight, thank God for his grace. Hallelujah. You thank God for his grace. Because the people who have it, they want to lose it. How come they're not losing it? You say, thank God for the abundance of your grace. Praise God. Woo! Grace is beautiful. I'm telling you, that's what we live by. 20 years of living word. You know, this church, this place was given to us. We were blessed with this building. It was dilapidated. And they said they had fasting and prayer and everything. And the Lord said, give it to Emmanuel. Woo! Who am I? It's the grace of God.
Amen.
That's what grace does. Thank you, Jesus.
Oof.
Got so much to say, but let me close because of time. Ephesians 3. Verse 20. Make sure that now, every time you're working, it is leisure because of the grace. Don't keep saying, oh, this work. No, don't keep saying it. It is God working, not you working. Hallelujah. Children, when you go to school, as you are going, say, Father, thank you because your grace is working in me. It's working. Oof, hallelujah. It's enabling me. Oh, charging me up. Thank you, Lord. Say, now to him, it is to him who is able to do. Who is going to do it? Him, not me. To him who is able to do exceeding. Above. You know the word exceeding means too much. Abundant means too much. So the actual translation of this, the God who is able to do too much. Jesus, you love me too much. Oh. Ah, you know why the person said oh? Because it is too much. So you have to add oh. Come on now. You can't just say Jesus love me too much. It's not too much. You have to say too much. Oh, then you got it. Glory to God. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Look at that. Exceedingly. Abundantly. Above. Oh, 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 this is too much. Oh, you must add the oh. It says above all that we ask or think according to what? According to what? The power that is working in us. The power is working. It is the grace of God. To him be what? Glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace.